wouldn't you open your precious Bible tonight to the Gospel according to Matthew? Now, this morning, I started a series of messages, and I'm going to try to, Lord willing, on Sunday mornings, we'll be in Matthew chapter 13 tonight. Matthew chapter 13, first book of the New Testament, the Gospel according to, and I want to start a series of messages. I know we've probably heard messages on the parables before, but I want to start a series on Sunday night on parables, on the parables. On Sunday morning, we started this morning on just a series, just simply back to the basics. And we preached this morning on, you know, it's a heavy subject, but we talked about preached on the depravity of man. Before people can get saved, they need to realize they need to get saved. They're lost. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. But that's not a good message. It's a bad message, but you got to have the bad news before you get the good news. Amen. And so we're going to start on the good news next week on salvation. We're going to deal with some back to the basic principles on Sunday morning. But on Sunday night, I want to bring a series of thoughts and series of messages simply on the parables. And it might take us all the way through the summer months. But let's look in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 13. Matthew 13, number 1, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I want you to notice in verse 18, because verse 10, the Bible tells us very clearly that the disciples came and said unto him, Why are you speaking to us in parables? Now, I think it's interesting that you understand his answer. He said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, he's speaking to his disciples there. But to them it is not given. Now I think that's interesting. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now we're going to deal with that. But then he explains to the disciples in verse 18 what the parable means. Verse 18, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also hath received seed among the thorns. Is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground, is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'd like to be that good ground. I really would. Now, here it is, parable of the sower. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we ask that you'll speak to our hearts. Do what only you can do. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. What's he sowing? So what? So what? You hear people say that all the time. Well, so what? Well, I'm asking you tonight, so what? What are we to sow? What is in this parable teaching for us to sow? The Word of God. It's the seed. We're to sow it. Where? How often? What? All the time. We should be sowing a seed. Where? Everywhere. There's not a place that you can sow seed that you shouldn't try. But it's very clear. It's not always going to hit good ground. Now, I really could call this parable this. This parable really explains why doesn't everybody get saved. You ever thought about that? Why doesn't everybody get saved? Is it the problem with the seed? Is the problem the sower? Or is the problem the soil? We all know that answer. This parable makes it very clear. Now, here's the thing that really amazes me, and it's amazing to me, you know, just to kind of nail it down a little bit more. The Lord allowed some folks to come that work with people in prison all the time. And I thought about this illustration. What if the governor went into a prison and went into everyone of them prisoners and looked at them? Because, you know, most of them that I've talked to, most of them are innocent anyway. I'm not being ugly, but every one, if you ask them, they're all innocent. Every one of them. I've not run into one. Now, I take it back. That's not true. There was a couple. There was a lady that was at that Alderson prison that day. Her and her husband was in the ministry. They got involved in some embezzlement. She got sent there. He got sent to another prison. And she looked at me dead in the face that day. And she said, no. She said, we were wrong. We stole money. But most people, when you see them in prison, they're going to say, no, we're innocent. They're all innocent. But now listen, if the governor came to that prison and lined all those inmates up and said, all right, now I'm going to give every one of you a pardon, I can promise you this, there ain't a one of them that ain't going to take it. But here's what amazes me. People that are dead and trespassing their sins, they're lost. And they hear the gospel, the good news of the gospel, and God basically gives them a pardon with the good news from heaven, and they say no. And they reject it. Now I want you to think about that logic a minute, because that's exactly what happens. The Bible says that we're all born sinners. If we pay for our sin, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, that's a good deal. So who would not take that? And that's the question. Why doesn't everybody get saved? Why doesn't everybody accept God's plan? Why doesn't everyone? This parable teaches us why. Here's what a parable means. It's to cast alongside. So the Lord said, the Bible says right here in this chapter, that he taught in many parables. Now what's that mean? He cast alongside. Now we know a parable, it's an illustration along with a truth. It's an earthly or a physical illustration to convey a spiritual concept. You say, Pastor, why is that so important? Well, first of all, I want to say this. The Lord Jesus Christ was God himself. He's the greatest teacher. The greatest teacher. And he used earthly illustrations to convey spiritual concepts. And the reason being is he made us and he knows that we have trouble. We want to live in the physical, but we have an awful hard time discerning the spiritual. I make the statement all the time, everything's spiritual. It's just amazing. Most people don't realize it. And sadly, a lot of Christians don't understand it. Why? Because we would rather look at everything through the physical eyes. We would rather deal with a physical story. We'd rather deal with, oh, let's get the moral of that story instead of getting the spiritual truth behind the story. By the way, I'm for the moral of the story, but I would be more interested in the spiritual truth behind the story. So God spoke, the Lord Jesus spoke in these parables. Why? Because we do not often exercise the spiritual part of us. Amen. Oh, we operate in the physical all the time. We operate. So we understand this. We understand what a garden is. We understand what it means to sow. We understand what a seed is. And we understand the soil. Nobody here needs to be explained that. We all understand that. But God is using this to teach a truth through physical illustration. Now, number two, I thought this was interesting. He explains why he taught in parables. Now, I thought this interesting, and I even illustrated that. I even emphasized that verse. when we were talking about that, and he even said, they even asked him, and he said in verse 11, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So he kind of gave two reasons why he spoke in parables. He said some are going to get it and some aren't. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. I think this is a wonderful principle. I believe that revealed truth are to those that will accept it. And I believe he was teaching this. I know this sounds bad. He wanted everybody to get it, but he was trying to reveal the truth to people who accept it, but he was also concealing the truth to people that wouldn't accept it. Because he said some are going to get it, some aren't. Now, I thought that interesting, because then he said in verse 12, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away. In other words, here's what the principle applies to us today, and it's simply, if we will respond positively to what light God has given us, he will give us more light. Hallelujah. He'll give us more truth. But when we reject or stop that truth, we reject that truth, or we say no to that, it's very clear, we reject the light, then the light stops. In other words, some people say this. They say, well, I'll tell you what, I've just stopped growing in the Lord, and they can pick a certain time. Well, I'll guarantee you, there's a time right there where they just absolutely rejected something they knew God wanted them to do. They rejected it. And when you reject that truth, I'm telling you right now, it's a dangerous trend. It's a dangerous place in people's life. The train stops. The light train stops right there. And that's the principle that he's teaching here. And when I first started studying, I was like, man, he's trying to reveal that to some, but then he's trying to conceal to others. He's not really trying to conceal it, but he's really, really what he's doing is he's smoking out. I don't know if I should use those words. But he's really trying for people that's going to accept it, they're going to accept it, but others, they're going to reject it. So he was saying to his disciples, you should understand this. And here's why he said it. God does not reveal truth to us in that we just consider it. Amen. See, a lot of times God will reveal truth to us. Oh, that's good. He doesn't just reveal truth to us just to consider it. Now, Christians have gotten really good at this. I've gotten really good at this. We love to consider the truth of God. But that's not why God reveals truth. That's not why he gives seed. That's not why he gives light. But that we may obey it. We may obey it. That we do it. We apply it. We put it in our life. It doesn't do us any good if we don't obey it. Oh, great. I know all the Bible. Great. Well, what are you doing with it? What am I doing with it? Here it is, use it or lose it. He gives it to us to obey, not to just say, oh, isn't that great? But now, Lord, you know that's not for me. No, it's for us. Now, could you imagine that God revealed to me years ago and us that we were to move to Chattanooga, Tennessee and become the pastor of the Tiftonia Baptist Church? Man, that would have been a great day when I was up in that tree stand and say, man, God's revealed to me. I'm just admiring the fact that he wants me to go to Chattanooga to Pastor Tiftonia, and I just stayed in that tree stand. Hey, I was admiring it. I realized it. I knew that's what it was. But see, it didn't do us a bit of good. You know what we had to do? He's talking about the other day. We had to pack up. We had to make arrangements. We had to leave the home state we love. We had to leave all those people we love. And I'll never forget it. Me and Kaylee were talking about the other day. The thing that made that hard for me is Mom and Dad and Noah shows up. That was a tough day, man. I cried. Pastor, I'll never forget. Pastor Altizer walked up. He's like, Mark! You all right? I said, no, I'm going to be. This is hard. Saying to everybody, a place we'd been in love for 7.5 years. So it would have been easy for me. All right, God, this is what you led me to do. And I'll tell you what, though. I like it, though, Lord. But I'll tell you what, I just think I'll just stay here. But I mean, look, we do it all the time. We make these little spiritual excuses all the time to tell the Lord, oh, I know that's what you want, but.
Yeah, there you go.
But, oh, God, I understand. Well, will he? No, he tells you to forgive. I think sometimes parents have this idea that, you know, we have exemptions. God says to train up a child in the way he should go. So we have this little idea about that thing. Oh, well, God certainly understands. No, he does understand. He wants you as a Christian family to train your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That's hard. That's tough stuff. That means there's tough love involved at times. But that's not an option for the Christian. That means you have to train. You have to discipline at times. And I know that's tough. That's nothing that no one enjoys doing. And I've learned this. I'm just being honest. I preach hard to y'all because I'm going to tell y'all right now, something does change in you a little bit. Now, I know I'm not preaching heresy here. I'm just telling you. Something changes in you a little bit when you become a grandparent. And here's why. It ain't the grandparent's job to raise the kids. There's a time past, and I'm going to be honest, I used to listen to me, I had no trouble disciplining my children. You can ask both of them. None. And I'm going to be honest, I have a little trouble disciplining children around here. Now, I'm for it. I'd just rather somebody else do it. But I'm for it, and I'm going to encourage you to do it. But the goal is not to punish a child. The goal is to train a child. Train is different than punishing people. There's a training involved. That's what the Bible says. Train up a child in the way he should go. There's training. There's instructing. That takes patience. It takes time. But I want you to know something. That's not an option for the Christian family. That's not something we can just say, oh, that's good. I admire that truth. No, God wants you to do something with it. He doesn't reveal truth for us to admire it, to look at it and say, oh, that's great for so-and-so. It's good for us. So, look, there's three parts of this parable that I think needs to be emphasized. Because he's talking about the sower went out and sowed seed. So let's look at the three elements. They're very simple. The sower, the seed, and the soil. Where's the problem? Because we know this. Notice, only 25% get it. You would think that the Word of God would say, all right, 75% got it, and 25%, no, read it. Three out of the four didn't get it, only 25% got it. That's interesting to me. What's the problem? Why didn't everybody get saved? Why didn't everybody get the seed? What's the problem? Why did not this seed end up being successful? It's God's will for it to be successful. God desires for it to be successful. When we give the gospel, we give the seed, we want it to be successful. Just like brother, the dear brother said, look, we don't know. We hand out tracts. Sometimes we don't know whether it's successful or not. So what's the problem? Let's just start with number one. Quickly, the seed, is that the problem? The seed is the seed. Do we got faulty seed? We got bad seed. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but is this bad seed? How many of y'all got saved from this seed? How many of y'all's lives been changed from this seed? I mean, you know, can all of us be wrong? Well, maybe. Just because a crowd says something's right. But I wish y'all know something. Based on God's word, let me just say, there ain't no problem with the seed. The seed's not the problem. The Bible says in verse 19 and 20 that the seed is the word of God. The word of God is inerrant. The Word of God is infallible. The Word of God is absolutely inspired. It is perfect. It is God's Word. You say, Pastor, why do you believe that? What's the key to believe that the Word of God, and some people ain't going to like this, but what's the key to believe the Word of God? Y'all ready? Faith. It's the key. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm 47. Now, not only do I believe some of the Word of God by faith, but I'm going to tell y'all right now, in my years of living the Christian life, there's a lot of things I don't have to believe by faith anymore. I believe by proof. But I want to tell you, the seed's not the problem. Consider the power that the seed contains. Think of what a little seed. Think about an apple seed. Just think about that. Let's say I just had a couple of apples. I pull out a few of those seeds in an apple. Think about the potential of those seeds. It could become an orchard. Us deer hunters, we love acorns. Acorns, when them acorns hit, you get them deer on them pattern, because you know, you get, they're just like us. They like to stay near the groceries. Same with fishing. If you learn how to fish, you learn how to fish because you know the fish are going to be like us. They're going to stay near the grocery store. You got to have food. But when you look at a little acorn, you go out into the woods, you look at them big old red oak and white oaks, they started from just a little old acorn, no bigger than my thumb. Think about the power of just one seed. Think about the power of the seed of the Word of God. We've just got to keep planting them. Look, even if I only preach to a handful of people tonight, there's more than a handful of people tonight. Think about the potential if we just preach and people hear, we would go out and preach more spread and we would spread more seed. Think of the potential just with this group tonight. Think about this. The seed of the Word is daily carried out all along around the world. Do you know that it's carried online around the world? And by the way, being it, getting it carried out along the online takes really little effort to do it. Think about this. What if we really tried? What if a lot of effort was going in it? 1 Peter 1:23 says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There's no, what I'm trying to tell y'all tonight, and I know y'all know it, there's no problem with the seed. The Bible is a seed. It has an amazing potential. Look, each of our Sunday school teachers, do y'all understand every week what potential you have as you spread the seed? Children church workers, can I just say to you, I know we sometimes lose zeal. We you know, even like during vacation Bible school, those kids are going to be over there. No, they're going to get the seed. And you say, well, Pastor, what's the big deal? Can you imagine the seed, the potential of the seed that's being sown into the heart of a child and a child that's willing to receive it? We got to keep trying. We got to keep giving. We got to keep spreading. Children's church workers, bus workers, every member here, we have to spread the seed. The power is not in us. The power is in the seed. So can I help every Sunday school teacher just a minute? Give good little illustrations and stories. Give jokes. But most of the time, what you need to be focusing in on in your class is the seed of the Word of God. That is what brings power. That's what brings potential. The Word of God, children's church, every teacher ought to be making sure they keep it simple, keep it to the Word of God. Yes, some people have it easier. They're easier to illustrate things. Some are might be more dynamic than others. But as long as we give the Word of God, the potential is there. We can't change their hearts, but we sure can put the seed. Psalm 126:5 says this, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, and with rejoicing bringing his sheaves with him. Elsewhere, think about it now in the Bible. If we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. I've never watched anybody plow two rows of lines, and plant two seeds of tomato plants in them. Brother Milford, when you plant them okra plants, do you just drop a couple little old seeds in there? Does that do it? No, what's he do? He plants whole rows of that okra. He loves okra. Y'all love okra? I ain't never seen much. Oh, I tell you right now, I'm such a cheapskate. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to put one little old seed down. I'm going to get one little plant of okra. I ain't never seen a soul do that. They get okra. And they get so much of it, some of you towards the end of the year, you're handing the okra out. It ain't okra down here, it's okra. But I mean, it's the same principle. I've never seen one person, oh, I tell you what now, I really went over and beyond, man. I bought one tomato plant. No, most people when they go get maters, they get mater plants. So they got enough, praise God, and y'all share them with your pastor. Because I used to like going home on a Sunday night, putting them on and slapping them on some bread, slapping some mayonnaise on there and going to town. Well, y'all enjoy it for me this summer. I'll let y'all have the tomatoes. I can't enjoy them. So what I'm trying to say tonight, there's no problem with the seed. Y'all with me and I'll move on to the next point. If y'all don't believe there's any problem with the seed, would you say amen? So why doesn't everyone get saved? It ain't seed. Number two, is it the sower? Is there a problem with the sower? Said he went out and sowed. Verse 37, Jesus said, I'm the sower in this parable. So we know he sowed right. We know he did it right. We know he says it right. We know he sowed. We know he sowed the word of God. He sowed the gospel. He sowed everywhere. Everywhere he was on the earth when he was here for 33 and a half years. His last 3.5 years of life, his ministry, it was full of sowing the word of God, the seed of the word of God. Now, here's the key to this. We cannot allow to keep letting sowing opportunities to pass us by. And we are. We're griping about the gas. We're griping about everything. By the way, I'm in all that. I gripe too. I vent. I gripe. Y'all been griping? If you don't gripe, something's wrong with you. Just be careful who you gripe with. But while you're sitting there griping, paying it, there's another old soul over there, and he's griping, and he's going, as he's pumping the gas too. And so while he's doing that, say, hey, I'll tell you what, when we get to heaven, there won't be no price raises there. Amen. There won't be no oil problems there. Amen. You never know. I say, oh, really? So you believe that? Oh, yeah, let me tell you how to get there. Never know. But we're letting all these opportunities just go to waste. We should carry gospel tracts. By the way, I've said this to you. We ought to give them to our waitresses. But please now, I know y'all think this is funny, but don't slap a dollar down there with our tract. Please don't do that. Because I'm going to be honest with you, that's a bad testimony. A dollar. Y'all know they can't even buy hardly a pack of gum for a dollar today. My soul, I think a loaf of bread's like almost $5 now. I mean, let's at least let them be able to go home and get them a thing of bread and some at least bologna or peanut butter or something. Let them spread it on the bread. But I mean, look here, don't be a cheapskate. Here's why I say, because if you don't tip them well, they have no desire to read what's in that tract. They have no desire. They're not going to have any desire to read that. They're going to say, oh, he's a cheapskate. He's probably going to throw it away. He's like, I tell you what. Let's not lose that. We ought to sow plentifully. Look, and there's much room for us to improve around here. Last time I looked, them track racks are still full. We need to sow plentifully. Hey, I want to stop right here just a second. We got to get to sowing passionately. I mean, like we really have a desire to do it. I mean, I'm telling you right now, that's where, here you go. That's where this comes into play. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I'm going to tell you one problem with the church, people working with people. We've lost our tears. How many of you Sunday school teachers, let me ask y'all now, how many of you Sunday school teachers have bathed your students in prayer and tears being brokenhearted over? Amen. Amen. I'm going to be honest. That's tough because I'm going to tell you right now, I know some of them, because I'm going to just say this. I've had to ask the Lord. I had to tell someone the other day. I said, I'm going to ask God to help you give your tears back. Somebody say, well, tears is an unmanly thing. Well, I know I struggle with that sometimes, but I'm going to tell you something right now. When you're burdened for people, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. There's got to be some passion and compassion towards people. We ought to feel sorry for people. And I know they get on our nerves. I know some of them are difficult. I know it. But I want to ask y'all a question, and I'm just being honest. There's some adults that's difficult. I'm one of them. That's where these tears come in. That's where that burden comes in. I'm going to be honest with you, church. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me because it's real easy to lose it. And I'm just being honest, I'm speaking personally. Now, I ain't preaching to nobody. This is on me here. I've been in this thing 26 years. And I'm just going to be completely honest with y'all. There's sometimes people frustrate me. People ever frustrate y'all? Or am I the only sinner here tonight? I mean, it'll wear on you a little bit every once in a while. And I'm going to tell you what's got to have to happen. I got to get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, you got to help me. Give me some tears. I'm getting calloused up. I'm getting calloused. I'm tired of hearing that excuse. I'm tired of hearing this. I'm tired of hearing that. I'm going to be honest. We got to ask God to give us tears. I mean, I couldn't imagine going in and out of them jail cells. I mean, week in, week out, month in, week in. Look, you got to have a burden for that because, look, I mean, there's something to help me with that. Never forget it. Years ago when I was at Bible college, they sent me into Knox County Jail. They sent us in there, and we were in our pod preaching. But then they said, well, we got a man down in solitary that wants... So we went down there, and the guard looked at us as we were going down. I'll never forget it. He looked at me and said, "Now, boys," he said, "y'all don't have to go in there." He said, "I just want y'all to know the man that's in there said he's a pedophile." He said, "I ain't supposed to tell you this, but he said he's got AIDS too." He said, "Now, do y'all want to still go down in there?" Me and Fred Hart looked at each other. He's from West Virginia. I looked at him. I said, "Well, you know what? God loves him just like he does us." So we went on down there. He had a guy who was crazy. I was thankful he was chained to the floor. I mean, he was chained up to the floor, but I mean, we went down there and witnessed to him. I'll tell you right now, you say, "Why'd you do that?" Because I'm going to tell you right now, God died for him just like he did me. There ain't no big me and little them. It's all little us. We got to have some passion. Hey, then we got to be patient. Now look, here's what I'm saying. In due time, we'll reap if we faint not. I've never seen anybody plant maters and get them the next day. Wish we could. And by the way, I wish we could get harvest summer a little quicker around here. But by the way, it ain't the way it works. We got to be patient. We just got to keep sowing. Y'all with me tonight? If I put anybody to sleep... Hey, farmers don't plant on Monday and expect to harvest on Monday. But we do expect to reap. So what's the problem? I'm going to hurry because, man, I done went too long. Y'all know what the problem is. Y'all know what the problem is? The soil. And you know what that problem is? It's the heart. When that seed hits. Notice what he said here. There was four responses to the word or to the seed. The problem's with the soil. The human heart's the soil. The first one we find in verse 19, he said it's the indifferent heart. It's the wayside heart. This is a footpath alongside the fertile field. It's been walked on so much, it's gotten hard. Here's what it is. It's a hardened heart. It's just hard. In other words, here's what they do. They have no response. They act like they don't care. You can preach to them, you can talk to them, and they just don't care. The hardened heart. Then we see here in verse 5 and 6, it's the impulsive heart. It's pictured by stony ground. It just has a little soil on top of a rock. The rock's underneath, but the seed doesn't get very deep. So it springs up real quick, but it has no root system. So it withers away. These are impulsive decisions. They're decision makers who actually make a profession of faith. And maybe it's an emotional, impulsive response, but it doesn't get to the heart. Then we see in verse 7, the impure heart. It's on thorny places. The thorns and the weeds, they have been cut away at the ground level, but the roots still remain. And here's what the Bible says in verse 22 here. The world and riches choke out the word. Here it is. It's a worldly response. Like the rich young ruler. But you know a good song that we ought to sing when we think about especially this. Because, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's a good song. But I'll give you another one in light of this. Talking about receiving the word and not being worldly. Here's that song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Here's the verse. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. But then this last one now, something different. Verse 8, this is the heart that humbly receives the truth of the Word of God in genuine faith and repentance. You know what I would call this ground? Tender ground. I like that tender ground. I want my heart to be tender. Your heart needs to be tender. And not only is it a tender response, but it's a fruitful response. You know what? The Bible says, by their what? We shall know them. By their fruit. You don't have to tell me what an apple tree, if it's got fruit on the tree, I can tell you what that tree is. Now you can tell me all day long it's a pear tree, but if it's got apples on it, it's an apple. And by their fruit, the Bible says a Christian ought to have some fruit in their life. Amen. I don't know about y'all. I want to be good ground. Y'all want to be good ground? Let's stand on our feet. Y'all think we can do a better job around here spreading seed? I do too. Let's ask God to help us. Spread the seed. We got tracks back there. Hey, we're going to have these door hangers. Y'all going to be the door knockers. I don't know why I keep saying that. The door hangers. It's got the truth. It's got seed on the back. Got the gospel. Got all information about the church. I don't know why they didn't put the best church in town. That's the way I feel about it. How about y'all? Appreciate the two. Spread it. Let's get it out. How many of you know we can do better than that? Let's ask God to help us. So as we leave tonight, grab all the tracts you can. Look, these Vacation Bible School flyers. We got an open door into the elementary school. The principal's going to let us, about 300 students there, going to let us take, every one of them are going to let us put it in their backpack, take home, invite them to our Vacation Bible School. This summer, some of you helped me with the camp up there. Mr. Long always lets us come up, talk to all the camp up at John A. Patton, and we can hand out and talk to her about our Vacation Bible School there. So let us know. We got to do better. Sowing the seed. And all God's people say it.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're missing out. Trust Him tonight. Let's bow our head and close our eyes and let's ask God to help us to sow the seed. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness, Your grace. I pray now that You'll help us to sow the seed. Lord, we know the seed's not the problem. We know that You're not the problem, but Lord, we know the heart is the problem, but Lord, we don't know. We just have to sow. And I think we've become professional soil inspectors. And Lord, we need to just be professional seed sowers. So You help us, and we'll thank You for what You do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And all God's people say it. God bless you. Have a great night.